Good morning, everyone. I just want to take a minute to thank Lucas and Marika for leading us in worship this morning. It's a huge privilege to have you guys with us, and it's a really hard time to be a volunteer, so we're thankful for your faithfulness and your heart and your service. And thank you so much to our tech team, which they've never needed a thank you more than today, to Christiana and Chris and to Rio. We literally would not be doing this without you, and we're really grateful. And of course, it's an absolute delight to work with Thomas and Ellie Hazelman. There is a video that you'll be watching after the service that Thomas put together that's just, it will bring joy to you and your family, and it brought joy to us as well. And Ellie, thanks so much for talking about Simeon, because I'm going to be talking about Anna today. So let's pray before we go into the sermon. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, for the fact that we are your children and you always speak to us, that you are working in each of our lives in different ways right now. As we devote this time to listen to you in your word, Lord, we pray that the things that you have been doing in our hearts would grow by leaps and bounds, that you would multiply, that you would awaken our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's my privilege to share with you a Christmas devotional this morning, and my title today is Anna's Anticipation. I was reading an article this week about anticipation, and in it, psychology professor Christian Waugh talks about the importance of anticipation, and he says that having things to look forward to is a major coping strategy. It helps us recover, and it helps us adapt to stressors. He says that the way this works is anticipation promotes approach thinking, the feeling that you're going toward something that you want or desire. And our brains can only handle so many thoughts at a time. Having something to anticipate occupies that mental space and leaves less room for negative thoughts and increases our overall sense of well-being. I know you're thinking right now, unfortunately, during this pandemic, we have had far fewer good things to anticipate. Whether on a short-term basis, like dining out with my friend on a Friday night, or going to the pool with your kids on a Saturday morning, or on a long-term basis, like taking a trip down south or spending Christmas with your grandkids. Anticipation seems a bit unavailable at the moment, and without anticipation, our optimism and even our hope can struggle. But let me tell you about someone who, it might seem, had very few good things to anticipate. In Luke chapter 2, we read about Anna the prophet, who was alive when Jesus was born. This Israelite woman got married young, but lost her husband after only 7 years of marriage, and she never remarried. It also appears that she never had any children, and in that culture, more than today, a childless widow would be on the fringes of society. She didn't have any tangible work that gave her respect in the community. She likely didn't have the milestones to look forward to that other women around her would have had, like celebrating her children's weddings or having her first grandchild. And I can just picture other women talking about her and being like, poor Anna, the good part of her life is over. At least she had 7 years with her husband. But what else does she have to look forward to? By the time that we meet her in Luke 2, she's 84, and she actually lives at the temple in Jerusalem, possibly because she doesn't have anywhere else to live. So we're starting in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. We're going to jump over Simeon briefly and go to verse 36. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're starting right after Mary and Joseph are going to the temple with their newborn Jesus. It's picking up right after the shepherds come to see Jesus. Verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So my first point here is Anna anticipates. So Anna never leaves the temple, which in that time, it's really important to remember, that was God's presence here on earth. She spends all of her time worshiping him and praying day and night. She's not married to a man, but she's devoted to God, and she speaks prophetic words from God, so she's known as a prophet, and she ministers to those who come to the temple. And then one day, she is uniquely rewarded in her desire to see God's Messiah, the hope of the people of God. Much like Simeon in the same chapter, who says, "Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." The second Anna sees Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus, she's so in tune with God that she knows he's the Messiah. She knows the promises given for hundreds of years are happening now. She recognized Jesus, and she spoke of him continually after that. The verbs here are in the imperfect. She just kept speaking of him to those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna is characterized by anticipation and by expectation. She is spiritually alert, and she is ready to recognize God in the flesh. And her seeking after God is a model for all of us. Luke, the writer of Luke, makes this really clear by using Anna and the disciples as bookends to his story of Jesus' life and death, and by showing the parallels of the posture of Anna and the posture of Jesus' disciples. So after Jesus dies and is resurrected and ascends to heaven, Luke describes the disciples just like Anna. They are continually in the temple praising God. He then closes his gospel with the disciples waiting with anticipation in the same city, Jerusalem, for the coming of the Spirit that has been promised. And then, much like Anna in the book of Acts, also written by Luke, we see the early Christian community daily in the temple, praising God, praying, teaching, and proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. So Anna anticipates, and as Anna anticipates, so do we. So the article I read about anticipation and our losses during COVID suggests to plan smaller things to look forward to, like plan a cocktail hour with a friend or map out a new hike for the coming weekend, because imagining a better future can help you stay on the hopeful side rather than on the side of despair. And that's very wise. But even more, we who follow Christ have so much to anticipate. In Romans chapter 8, we hear, "We wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Just as Anna and the people of Israel were waiting for the first coming of Jesus, we look forward to his second coming, when he will come again and he will make things right. And the Bible tells us not to just be aware and know that Jesus is returning to earth, not to just know that heaven and earth are going to become one, not to just know that our bodies will be made new and the whole earth will be made new, not to just know that we'll be God with God forever. We will not be God forever. We will be with God forever. Not just to be aware of that, but to actually look forward to it, to think about it, to plan on it, to let it occupy our minds and our hearts and how we make decisions. That anticipation is so good for us. But Jesus has come in his first coming, and his Spirit is with us. So we also have short-term anticipation, and that's the anticipation we have for our redemption now. God is here now. Jesus has come in the flesh. His Spirit is with us, and he is going to transform situations in our lives according to his will. Is it his will that you'll be free of addiction? Of course. So anticipate his healing. Is it his will that I will be healed of anger issues and be kinder to my children? Of course. So I eagerly anticipate the redemption of my parenting. So fill in the blank. Is it his will that your finances would be brought into order? Of course it is. So pray and anticipate that transformation. Anna is a paradigm for the early church. She's a paradigm for us too. And our anticipation should show up in our hearts and how we think about things, but it should also show up in our actions. So we hear that Anna never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And we might automatically think that the equivalent for us today is to be at church all the time. And that's not actually true. The New Testament makes it very clear that we believers are the temple of God, that his spirit dwells in us. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 says, "You are God's building. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in your midst?" So God's temple is holy and you together are that temple. We have the anointing of Anna. We have the anointing of the first disciples. And that calling is to anticipate together and on our own the work of God. To worship continually, to pray continually, to expect the Spirit to come, and to look forward to Jesus coming again to make everything right. In that anticipation, as the article points to, we will have ultimate well-being. We will have optimism. We will have hope, not to mention faith and joy, as we draw closer to the Maker of our souls. So when Anna receives the results of her anticipation, she can see that baby and she recognizes him. The scripture says she thanks God. And I found that kind of an underwhelming statement. But the gospel writers don't always give us a lot of details of what it looks like. And maybe she was so close to God that her response was really that simple and that profound. But she doesn't stop there. Anna anticipates, then Anna announces the good news. When this point came to me, I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry, because clearly Joseph's alliteration has crept into my preaching style, whether I like it or not. Maybe it's just temporary. But Anna is a widowed, marginalized, elderly woman, and she announces the good news. Through her, God begins to fulfill other promises, like the one in Joel chapter 2. "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." God's promise in Joel, which also you see again in Acts chapter 2, it includes the young and the old, the men and the women. It includes Anna. Anna is blessed by God to be in really good company with his messengers, the angels, who announced the Messiah's birth to Zechariah, to Mary, and to the shepherds. And she announces it to the believers, the pious ones in Jerusalem. And I find that as elderly women in particular are often overlooked, sometimes even euthanized in today's cultures, God's empowerment of this faithful old widow as his prophet to announce his son is an encouragement to those who feel like they might be on the fringes, on the outside of the story. And it also inspires us to be God's justice seekers, because it shows God's heart to include every person, not just those that we might think would be central to the story. So on a personal note, when I was reading this scripture, I remembered that Anna is the Greek version of the Hebrew Hannah, which of course is special interest to me. But it also pointed me to something else. This name, both of these names, mean the same thing. They mean grace and favor, the grace and favor of God. And this reminded me that Anna points to another prophet, the prophet, who two chapters later unrolls the scroll of Isaiah in the middle of the synagogue and announces, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Anna points to Jesus, the greatest prophet, who, according to Matthew and Mark, spends most of his early ministry saying, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." He says exactly what Anna says. God's great salvation for his people is here, and it's happening now. What you've been looking for is happening, and it's good news for all people. So Anna announces, and Jesus announces, and as they announce, so do we. We're called to follow Anna, not just in her anticipation, but also in her announcing. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says we all should earnestly desire to prophesy, as Anna did. And prophecy is not some sort of magical formulation. Anna shows exactly what a great prophet does. A prophet worships God continually, seeks his heart, and announces his fulfilled promises, as Elias said, through Jesus. I recently had a series of interactions with my 88-year-old neighbor, and I won't go into detail because they're personal to her, but I learned a couple things about announcing. First of all, that prayer really is powerful. I mean, I should have known that, but prayer is powerful, and it's amazing, even when our faith is weak, how much it truly breaks open space in people's hearts for them to encounter God. And second, in my very weak announcing, I learned that God's desire to save people is powerful as well, more powerful than someone's age or someone's history, more powerful than the limitations we have on social interactions right now, more powerful than my weakness. So I encourage you to speak out. Maybe it's to your neighbors. Maybe it's with just your family. Maybe it's even with your family on Zoom. So you're connecting with your neighbor over Christmas lights and you're noticing like so many more people have Christmas lights up right now and they're trying to bring joy during COVID. And you take that moment to say, that's right, because Jesus is that light that banishes the darkness. And you tell them how he's been that light in your life, that God is for you and his favor is for all people. Or maybe you're asking a child about the gifts that they're hoping for because you know that's on their mind. And instead of telling them that Christmas is not about gifts, you say, Christmas is all about gifts. And that's because of the gifts that God has given to us. That's because of the gift of his son. And here's what those gifts are. My dream, our vision for this church, is that we would be a people characterized by hunger for God, by prayer, and by evangelism, just like Anna. I'm going to read you a verse from Isaiah 40, verse 9. I'm going to read this over you. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, like Anna, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid, and say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. And it wasn't until I had read through this verse a few times that I saw the parallels with the song we're singing right now, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And now I do. Go tell it on the mountain. Here is your God. He's real. He's good. He's powerful. He cares about you. He wants to change your life. He wants to bless you. So next time in this Christmas season you hear that song, remember to obey. And those who are looking for redemption will listen. That won't be everyone, but the hungry will hear the good news and rejoice. Let me pray for you before we end with our closing song. Lord, we want to be like Anna. We want to be devoted to you. So Lord, we cast aside anything else that we're clinging to that distracts us from you. Lord, let us be like Anna in our anticipation of the power of God. Lord, let us witness to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we unceasingly worship you and bless you throughout our days, in the midst of our busyness, wherever we are, let us know your will. Let us speak your words. Let us feel your love and your favor, which is for all people, and let us share that. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing What Child Is This? And as we sing this, first of all, I was drawn to the chorus, this is Christ the King. And I could picture Anna. I don't know if this song was written about her, but I could picture Anna just saying, "This is Christ the King. This is the one that you've been looking for." And also as we sing it, let's ask the Lord to help us to answer this question for others. What child is this?